and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dieter Asiedu, and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek met with the Health Minister Milada Emerová on Thursday to discuss the financial state of the health sector. To Mr. Paroubek, the Health Ministry's plans to solve the financial crisis look promising and could save billions of crowns in the ailing public health insurance system. The Ministry's proposal is to be discussed by the coalition parties within the next 2 weeks. The Czech President Václav Klaus signed a bill into law on Thursday that requires all cash register activities of small businesses to be recorded and monitored. The lower house of parliament proposed to monitor cash registers in order to help the government fight against the grey economy. Small retailers and restaurants will be obliged to use the registers as of January 2007. Those who'd fail to comply could be fined up to 500,000 Czech crowns. Also on Thursday, the president refused to sign bills into law with which the government hoped to simplify the work inspection system. And Hungary's foreign ministry has issued a formal complaint to the Czech Republic against the recent unveiling of a new statue of the former Czechoslovak president Edvard Beneš. Some 500,000 ethnic Hungarians lost their property and were expelled from Czechoslovakia after the Second World War in a move that was sanctioned by the Beneš decrees, because many Hungarians supported Nazi Germany when it annexed the Czechoslovak borderlands in 1938 and soon after declared the entire country the German protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia. The statue of Beneš was unveiled in front of the Foreign Ministry in Prague on Monday. The government of New Zealand has decided to increase the number of Czechs permitted to work in the country. Under a bilateral agreement on work stays, which took effect in March, 100 Czechs between the ages of 18 and 30 were to be granted short-term work permits up to 1 year in New Zealand. That number is to be raised to 1,000 as of July. And the Cabinet has approved a planned change in the sick leave insurance system. The new sick leave bill would mean that employers would have to cover their employees' sickness benefits in the first 2 weeks of sick leave. On the other hand, they would pay lower sickness insurance for the respective employee. Following criticism from smaller businesses and some economists, the Labour and Social Affairs Minister Zdeněk Škromach said on Thursday that businesses employing up to 25 people may be given the choice of leaving the coverage of their employees' sickness benefits up to the state. The Cabinet also set the upper limits of the income base from which sickness and health insurance payments are calculated. The bill has yet to be approved by both Houses of Parliament. And a quick look at the weather. The next few days should remain cloudy with occasional showers. Daytime temperatures are expected to rise steadily to reach 27 degrees Celsius by the end of the week. I'm Dieter Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
You are tuned to Radio Prague, and I'm Danielle Lazarová. Coming up, we look back at one of the darkest chapters of the country's history and visit the site of a former communist labour camp. Sad news from the present day as well, I'm afraid. Actress Stella Zázvorková has died at age 83. We'll be looking at the life and work of the woman who entertained four generations of Czechs. You can hear another edition of Women in War, and in this week's panorama, we'll take you to a pig farm, the stench of which has reached Brussels. Stay with us. An icy gale and drizzling rain pound upon new grass and gravel near the Vojna Memorial. Located in the Příbram region of central Bohemia, Vojna was a prison camp that first housed Nazi criminals, then opponents of Czechoslovakia's communist regime. Ironically, prisoners jailed there included some of Czechoslovakia's finest who had fought for their country during the war, only to ultimately be branded as traitors and Western spies. Today, Vojna serves as a most chilling reminder of one of the darkest chapters of Czechoslovak history, Jan Wellinger reports.
Musicians play Shostakovich at the opening of the Vojna Memorial, 17 buildings where prisoners were kept spreading out below a hilly countryside. Visible are barbed wire fences, lookout towers, and an infamous concrete cell where prisoners were handed down special punishment. kept in chilly conditions for days, sometimes as many as 20 at a time. Prisoners unable to stand upright or lay down had no choice but to crouch, awake or in sleep. There was no relief. One of those who remembers life in Vojna is Jiří Zenáhlík, a lieutenant during the war who was imprisoned by the communists in 1952. He survived to old age in part, he says, in the hopes of teaching young people about the past. Today it happens, though, that often they refuse to believe the story he has to tell.
I was sent to Germany during the war as a forced laborer, but I managed to escape to France. I then returned home with the American 14th Armored Division. For all my service to my country, I was labeled a traitor and a spy, and received a death sentence in 1952. I was 26 years old. I spent 23 days on death row, but ultimately my sentence was reduced. I was then sent to various prisons and camps, including this one.
Vojna was not just a prison, it was a labor camp. Hard labor in hazardous health conditions at a uranium mine. Under such dreadful conditions, it's hardly surprising many died.
The conditions were dreadful working in the mine. Many of us didn't make it through. To this day, I still get regular checkups for cancer. I want to be around as long as I can. I want to teach young people about that time, to show them that democracy and freedom have a price. I spent 11 years and 6 months in prison. The whole time my wife waited for me. She never gave up.
Jiří Zenáhlík points out that thousands of innocent people received brutal sentences from high courts or people's courts, and he is adamant that this dark period in the country's history must not be forgotten at the risk of repeating it. That is one lesson the memorial and camp certainly hopes to teach, a point repeated by many at the opening Wednesday, including Culture Minister Pavel Dostal, who said he hoped the memorial and site, which is fully accessible, would be visited by the young. Another visitor, Milan Palmer, known for a particularly dramatic escape in the early 1950s in which he and others shot their way to freedom, agrees the lesson must not be lost.
Now I have the chance to really see what was going on and what was happening over here during those socialistic days. And I'm happy that this place, that they opened it. I just hope that people come over here and see on their own eyes. And I'm talking about young people who didn't go through this horrible years. I hope also that the schools will come over here to see, so that pupils, they could see what was happening over here.
Visiting Vojna is a far from cheerful experience, but it is a necessary one. Otherwise, as survivors say, the past could be easily glossed over, not least by communist sympathizers today. Had the camp lain forgotten or been bulldozed to the ground, some might be more inclined to downplay or even forget the suffering of the past.
A legend of Czech film and theatre, the actress Stella Zázvorková has died in Prague at the age of 83. During a career spanning 60 years, Stella Zázvorková played a whole range of characters, from aristocratic ladies to loving grandmothers, with equal zest and brilliance. Pavla Horáková looks back at the life and work of actress Stella Zázvorková.
Bylo jednou jedno království. Bylo pouze jednou, protože takové království se nedá dvakrát opakovat.
The unmistakable voice of actress Stella Zázvorková, who died on Wednesday of a heart attack. She passed away unexpectedly, just a week after shooting her final scenes in a new Czech film. Her last major part was in Filip Renč's film Roman pro ženy, which was released this year on April the 14th, on Stella Zázvorková's birthday. She was born in 1922 into a middle-class Prague family. Her architect father, Jan Zázvorka, designed the monumental liberation memorial on Vítkov Hill in Prague, and the profession was passed on to Stella's brother, also called Jan, who became a respected film architect. But Stella was always attracted to the theatre. After she failed her entrance exam to the Prague Conservatory, she studied at an English secondary boarding school. She then studied acting with Emil František Burian, a prominent figure of the Czech musical avant-garde. She later performed in his theatre, as well as on other Prague stages, where she played over 50 roles. Stella Zázvorková naturally inclined to comedy, especially in film and on TV. Just 5'2", with a well-rounded figure, she excelled when playing down-to-earth wives, quarrelsome neighbours, but also kind-hearted mothers. Foreign audiences had a chance to see her in the 1996 Oscar-winning Czech film Kolia. Stella Zázvorková, who won a Lifetime Achievement Award for acting in 2001 and a Czech Lion Film Award in the same year, was also very popular with her own colleagues, who respected her sharp wit, broad education, and, as many tributes have mentioned, big heart.
Pavla Horáková there speaking about a great actress who will be sadly missed here in the Czech Republic. For some time now, Radio Prague has brought you women's recollections of the war years in view of giving the 60th anniversary of the end of the Second World War a more human dimension. Time now for another woman to speak out about how the war affected her life. Dr. Milena Hipšmanová is the Czech Republic's foremost scholar of Romani, the ancient language spoken by millions of Roma across Europe. At the time of the German occupation, she was a little girl living with a family in Prague's new town, close to Wenceslas Square. Here she recalls two memories from that time. They seem unconnected, but both show how in the war the smallest chance can mean the difference between life and death.
I was a child during the war, and I remember very vividly when in 1942 the Gestapo came and they took my father to the internment camp. He was there 3 years. And they came at 6 o'clock in the morning. They used to come always at night or in the morning. And my brother at that time, he was 3 months old. I was 9 and my sister was 6. They took my mother too. And now the Gestapo people said, well, we have to put your two girls, that means myself and my sister, to a children's home. And at 6:30 in the morning, my mother's aunt came just to ask, how are you? And she never did that. Why should she come at 6:30 in the morning? She said, I went to the church here near us. And my mother winked to her and she showed her that she should agree with everything that my mother says. So she told the Gestapo people that our aunt stays with us and that she can take care of us, of me and my sister. So they didn't take us to the children home and we stayed with my aunt. So this was really a God's little miracle. And the other story is, you know, the Stančící dům, a new house which was constructed about 10 years ago, very modern. And next to this house, there is a house which was built after the war. And it was bombed. It fell down into ruins. And it was in February 1945. My mother went for a walk with my little brother, who was about 3 years old at the time. And the wind took her hat. So she went into the house and she wanted to comb her hair and to put her hat on her head. Because there are mirrors in these old houses. So she combed her hair and then she came home. And as soon as she came home, there was a bombing and this house fell down. So these two little miracles happened to us during the war.
Milena Hipšmanová there recalling the war years, and you will find all previous editions of Women in War on Radio Prague's webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. Now, see if you recognize this. Song to the Moon from Antonín Dvořák's Rusalka, a new production of which recently premiered at the Czech State Opera in Prague. Rusalka, Dvořák's second last opera, is about a water nymph who, through a witch's magic spell, leaves her underwater home to live on land, with tragic results. The Rusalka water spirit is a feature of Slavonic mythology, and the libretto by poet and director Jaroslav Kvapil was based on the fairy tales of Karel Jaromír Erben and Božena Němcová. It also reflected the influence of Hans Christian Andersen and Friedrich de la Motte Fouqué. Mostly composed at Dvořák's summer retreat at Vysoká over a period of just 7 months, Rusalka was first performed at Prague's National Theatre in March of 1901 and was immediately successful in the Czech lands. It took longer for Rusalka to make an impact internationally, though it indirectly reached a very wide audience when the main aria, Song to the Moon, was used in the Oscar-winning film Driving Miss Daisy. A musical version was staged in Prague in the year 2000, but it was not a hit at the box office. The latest staging at the Prague State Opera is directed by Zdeněk Troška, who is best known for making lowbrow but popular films, but made a big impression last year with a successful production of Georges Bizet's Carmen, also at the State Opera. Rusalka is played by Eva Urbanova, who has previously played the role of foreign princess in the opera, including in productions at New York's Metropolitan Opera and at the Opera Bastille in Paris. The Prague State Opera is planning to run Rusalka until June next year. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, and it's now time for a fresh edition of Panorama with Brian Kennedy.
The exact nature of a Czech-run camp where hundreds of Roma, mainly children, died from disease, hunger, or abuse during the German occupation has long been a polarizing issue for the nation's politicians. But the stench of the pig farm built above the mass graves of the Leti Upisku concentration camp back in the 1970s has now, metaphorically speaking, traveled all the way to Brussels. The Czech Republic has been singled out in a European Parliament resolution for failing to remove the pig farm and create a, quote, graceful memorial to honor the victims of the Romani Holocaust.
I Syna, i Ducha Svatého, milost našeho Pána Ježíše Krista i láska Boží.
A Catholic priest recites a solemn prayer for our Romani brothers and sisters, 85 men and women, and 241 children who died at Leti, and for the thousands of other Czech Roma killed in the Holocaust.
A smrti našich romských bratří a sester.
The ceremony took place on the site of the camp's temporary prison cemetery. The actual campsite, a couple of hundred meters away, is now home to an industrial pig farm built under communism.
Dává všem naději, dává všem spásu. Amen.
Among those paying tribute to the victims was Jan Verba, now 63, who was born in the Leti camp, and whose only sister and grandfather died there.
I know from my parents that it was a place of cruelty, that starving children were left to eat raw cabbage from the fields, and that the townspeople from Leti paid no attention to them. Children were dying on piles of, I don't want to say it, piles of excrement. Leti must be a memorial.
Leti jako památník.
The memorial has yet to be built on the actual site of the Leti camp. In recent years, the owners of the pig farm built above it have taken to shutting off the ventilation system every May 13th, the date of these annual services. The owners of the pig farm are well aware that the stench of the animals casts a pall over the memorial event and makes for bad press.
This memorial to the victims of the concentration camp stands where, for more than 30 shameful years, a pig farm has been operating. You heard correctly, a pig farm.
Stench of Czech pig farm reaches Brussels, was the headline in the leading Czech daily Mladá fronta Dnes, following the April 28th vote in the European Parliament on a resolution that singled out the Czech Republic for failing to honor Romani victims of the Holocaust.
This resolution is very important for the Romani minority. Those almost 15 million people who live in Europe as a Roma.
Monika Mohaci is an MEP from Hungary and one of two Roma elected to the European Parliament.
This is the first document which is speaking about the discrimination, the details of the discrimination.
The resolution stresses that the Romani Holocaust deserves full recognition, commensurate with the gravity of Nazi crimes designed to physically eliminate the Roma of Europe as well as the Jews, and calls on domestic authorities to take all steps necessary to abolish the pig fattening industry on the territory of the former concentration camp in Leti and create a graceful memorial.
It's more than symbolism. This is not just the resolution, but this paragraph itself, Leti. Because with this text, we could go to the prime minister, we could go to that minister or state secretary who is dealing with this Holocaust issue or some kind of cultural issues, and could say that this is the European wishes, this is what members of the European Parliament asking for you to do it, to feel responsibility. It's not possible to create pig farm pigs on this field while hundreds of people were killed in the concentration camp or died in the concentration camps.
Not even 10% of the 6,000 to 8,000 Roma living in the Czech lands in 1942 are thought to have survived the war. Most were held in Leti or a similar camp in the southern Moravian town of Hodonin, where 207 prisoners died. When these camps were shut down, the remaining internees of both were transported to the so-called Gypsy Family Camp at Auschwitz-Birkenau, and on to other Nazi extermination camps like Treblinka. A decade ago, the celebrated human rights activist and former Czech president Václav Havel laid the first wreath at the Leti Memorial. On Saturday, Havel's successor and longtime ideological rival, President Václav Klaus, gave an interview with a leading Czech daily in which he spoke not of genocide, but of a camp for those who refused to work. President Klaus told the Nové Noviny that Leti, quote, was not a concentration camp in any proper sense of the word.
This is a slap into the face of the victims, and we regret that apparently Václav Klaus, president of the Czech Republic, does not know the basic facts of what had happened.
Markus Pape is spokesman for the Prague-based Committee for the Redress of the Romani Holocaust.
Concerning the first 2 years of the camp, it was in fact a camp for adult men, but we are very embarrassed that the president actually quoted or repeated the Nazi terminology and stating that the people were put to the camp because they refused to work. The people were sent there because they were different.
For those officials and politicians who want the Czech state to pay for the removal of the pig farm and build a proper memorial there to Roma victims of the Holocaust, Leti is the site of a concentration camp.
Discussion about the nature of the camp, if it was a concentration or labor camp, are absolutely, it's a nonsense.
The vice president of the Czech Senate, Petr Pithart, was among the non-Roma dignitaries on hand for Friday's memorial service.
It was something special, only for gypsies, not a concentration camp. It's absurd. It was a camp from which 600 people were sent to Oswiecim, so it is concentration camp.
Those opposed to the removal of the pig farm, including President Klaus, say the estimated $4 million it would take to remove the farm and compensate its owners would be better spent, for example, on programs to help educate the Roma.
It's a pity that this subject now becomes field of fights between parties, and in the first place, there's not the deep feelings of the victims.
President Klaus's words echoed those of the Czech communist Euro MP Miroslav Ransdorf, who also voted against the resolution.
This mentioning of Leti camp was a provocation.
And who said that, as a historian, he knows that, quote, outrageous lies have been spread about Leti.
There was no concentration camp in real sense in Leti. There were no gas chambers in Leti. So the fact that Mr. Horáček from the Greens introduced this item into debate in European Parliament was a provocation from my point of view.
Former Czech Human Rights Commissioner Petr Uhl, who had recommended in a 1999 motion to the Czech Parliament that the pig farm be torn down, has since lodged a criminal complaint against MEP Ransdorf for denying the Holocaust. According to an exhaustive study by the Czech historian Stibor Nečas, it was not until May 1942 that large numbers of sedentary Roma, deemed asocials by the Nazis, were locked up in these purpose-built labor camps of Leti or Hodonin, whose populations had long since become overwhelmingly Roma, and, in the official Nazi lexicon, were now internment camps. By early 1943, German and Czech authorities had registered nearly 6,000 gypsies and part gypsies living in the Czech lands. Within 6 months, the majority of them had been forced, together with their families, into the so-called gypsy camps, which had been set up by a further change in the status of the internment camps of Leti and Hodonin.
And that edition of Panorama has brought us to the end of today's programme. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.